I think it's interesting that right on the first Sunday of Lent, Holy Mother Church assigns these readings, which hearken back to the readings that we heard on Ash Wednesday, the very beginning of Lent. In this gospel that we just heard, this is right at the beginning, really. This is chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel. This is really the beginning of Jesus' adult ministry. In the beginning of the Gospels talk about his birth and Bethlehem, and then they kind of fast forward a little bit to him being lost in the temple at age 12, and then they fast forward again, and he's 30 years old. And he is about to begin his public ministry, which tradition tells us lasted about 3 years, and he was crucified at 33. So he's about 30 years old right now. And before he begins his public ministry, what does he do? He goes on retreat. He goes out into the desert, it says, for 40 days and 40 nights. And that's where the church gets her tradition of Lent, that we are in this desert with Christ. Now, Christ experienced 3 temptations here from the devil. And I think it's important for us to remind ourselves that Christ, being fully human, experienced everything we experience, except for sin. So he was tempted, just like we're tempted, he just didn't sin. But we sometimes think that he wasn't even tempted. No, he was tempted. And the scriptures make that very clear to us today. So it says, after 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. Of course, who wouldn't be? And so the devil shows up, and what's the first temptation? If you are God, make these stones turn into bread, then you won't be hungry, and you have something to eat. And he says, one does not live on bread alone. Jesus cites scripture back to the devil. One does not live on bread alone. And then the devil thinks, okay, need to get him a different way, brings him up to the tip of the temple, the parapet of the temple, and shows him everything and says, throw yourself down and the angels will come and catch you, right? The devil tries to cite scripture to the very word of God himself, and cites this verse that, well, the angels will come and support you, and Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then the devil's third temptation. He shows him everything and says, if you just worship me, I will give you all of this. Now, of course, we can look at this and we can say, well, the devil didn't really have the authority to give him. The devil couldn't have given him anything. And this says something about temptation. Doesn't the devil tempt us? And we know at the time, we know in the back of our heads that, like, what he's promising us in this temptation is actually something he can't do. We know that, but we fall into the temptation anyways, right? When we're tempted to do something, we know often in the temptation, we know in the back of our head that this really isn't going to make me happy. This isn't really going to make me fulfilled. And yet, that's basically what the devil tells us in temptation. Just do this, and it'll make you feel better. You know, just go look at this thing online that you shouldn't look at, and you'll feel better. Well, yeah, there might be some fleeting pleasure. It's not going to actually make you happy and fulfilled. It's going to make you less fulfilled. It's going to make you more empty. The devil says, just go and fudge some of those numbers there, or make up some story. And we know that it's not actually going to help us. And so I think it's safe to say that Christ knew that when the devil said to him, I'll give you all of these kingdoms, like, he knew, you don't have the power to give that to me. And yet the devil tries that anyways. The devil tries that anyways. And so what does Christ say? He says, get away from me. The Lord your God alone shall you worship. Him alone shall you serve. What I think is so interesting, as I kind of alluded to at the beginning of this homily, this harkens right back to the readings we heard on Ash Wednesday. What did Holy Mother Church tell us to do on Ash Wednesday during Lent? I preached on this, right? To do 3 things. To pray, to fast, and to give alms. Our Lord here, I would submit to you, is being tempted to do the exact opposite of those 3 things. The devil says, you're hungry, just turn these rocks into bread. Christ says, no, I'm going to fast. The devil says, go on top of this parapet, throw yourself down, and God will catch you, right? The devil is tempting Jesus to tempt God the Father, in a sense. The devil is tempting Jesus to provoke God the Father. And what does Christ say instead? No, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to tempt God the Father. I'm going to serve God the Father. That third temptation, Christ shows him everything and says, this can all be yours. All the magnificence of the world, fleeting magnificence of the world, can be yours. And what does Christ say instead? No, I'm going to give that up. I would submit to you that each of these three temptations is the exact opposite of what we're told to do in Lent. Holy Mother Church tells us to do those three things to fight these three temptations. Holy Mother Church tells us to fast, to pray to God, not to provoke him. To be willing to detach ourselves from the things of this world, even the good things of this world. And we're being tempted so often to collect as much of it for ourselves, right? Whoever dies with the most toys wins, right? That's what society tells us. We're being tempted to do the exact opposite of the three things that Holy Mother Church tells us to do during Lent, and that's why she tells us to do those things during Lent. Brothers and sisters, the temptations we experience today are so often not unlike what Christ experienced himself. I think in a sense they can all boil down to one of these three things. And that's why the church in her wisdom tells us to do those three things, to pray, to fast, and to give alms. Let's make sure that we're doing that during this Lenten season. And I just want to wrap up by tying in that first and second reading. So many people get caught up when they're reading Genesis, especially the two different creation stories in chapter 1 and then in chapter 2 of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. They get so caught up in things that you're not supposed to get caught up on. They get so caught up on the details that, quite frankly, were provided for the sake of conveying a deeper truth. You know, one of the things that distinguishes us as Catholics is that we apply certain method when we read sacred scripture. We don't approach the Bible as, yes, it's all literally true, or no, it's all just metaphorically true. We say you have to put it in its context. And when you put it in its context, sometimes it is meant to be interpreted literally, and sometimes it's meant to be metaphorically. But we would never take the entire Bible and just say it's all literal or it's all just metaphorical, as some people want to do. We don't do that. And the book of Genesis, first two chapters at least, the two different creation stories, were obviously meant to be metaphorical. They were meant, now they're true. This does not make them untrue. They are true because they convey truth. And the truth that's trying to be conveyed, so many people lose when they try getting caught up instead on different details of, well, you know, man certainly could have been made out of clay because of this, and the earth couldn't have been, you know, the whole universe couldn't have been made in six 24-hour periods because of this, that. That's not the point. There's some truth here that we're going to miss if we get caught up on those details. And the truth is that we brought sin into the world. We did. The very first human beings did, but we continue to do it. Right? That's the truth that's trying to be conveyed in the book of Genesis. That it's our fault that sin entered the world. And St. Paul kind of drives this home in that second reading. What does he say? The very first line, brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. And that we continue to perpetuate that, myself included. We're all sinners, all the way up to and including His Holiness the Pope. Right? We all continue to bring sin and death into the world. And I think that what the Church is asking us to do today, there's a whole homily I would love to give right now if I had like 30 minutes more. I won't. But there's a whole homily I would love to give right now on the doctrine of purgatory, because it ties into all of this. Because basically what's being said is, we've all contributed to the sin, to the death, to the entropy, if you will, in the world. And because we have all contributed to it, we all have an obligation to help set it aright through prayer, fasting, almsgiving, right? Sin entered the world through human beings, through us. We continue to bring sin into the world, myself included. And because of that, we have an obligation to help set things right through our prayer, through our fasting, through our almsgiving. That's the point of these readings today. Let's make sure that as we celebrate this first Sunday of Lent, we're only a few days into this 40-day time of being in the desert with our Lord. Let's make sure that we're doing everything we can do to help set the world right, to do our part with God, to help build his kingdom, to help bring about the new creation.